I love Thanksgiving time and theme, and I think it should go on. I think Thanksgiving, like Mr. Dave said about Christmas, it should be all the time, not just November. And we need to always count our blessings. I hope that you can come Wednesday night. I hope that you'll come, and because I think if you'll come, you'll get a blessing. Hearing other people praise the Lord and thanking God for the goodness. And if you listen to that missionary letter, you have to stop and realize that they've got it worse in other countries than we do here. And this country's becoming like a lot of places, but we're still blessed. And as we've already said, we're blessed right here. And we need to learn to be thankful and to be grateful. And the Bible teaches us and tells us that when we pray, we need to pray with thanksgiving. If we're not praying with thanksgiving, we're not praying right. And so there should always be the ability to pray and give thanks to God. Now, we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus under the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, that as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. All right, let's pray and we'll go on. Lord, we thank you for our time together today. We thank you for Thanksgiving. We thank you for the ability to be thankful. In whatever state and in every situation, we have the opportunity to be thankful. Help us to be thankful people. And help us, if there's someone here today that doesn't even know why we should be thankful, help them to walk out of this building knowing what Thanksgiving really is all about. Help them to find the truth and the gospel, and that they will truly have the ability to give thanks like the rest of us do. Thank you and praise you, Lord, we do, and help us to praise you today and to guide my mind, my mouth, and that what I say would be what you'd have said today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. First of all, Paul is writing this church in Thessalonica, the church of the Thessalonians. And you'll notice in the New Testament, there are just several churches. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the Bible way. To have churches across and around. Of course, they started with one church in Jerusalem, and that church then spread and multiplied because that's what God wanted them to do. He said to go and preach the gospel to every creature, and so there's going to be churches, and we have local churches throughout our world today as people obey the word of God. This particular epistle was written to the Thessalonians. And it was to them and from Paul, and of course, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says here in verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Number one, he was thankful for them, and I'm going to show you in just a minute, he was thankful for them because of verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. He was thankful for them for their salvation, their election of God. Now, some people teach that you have to be predetermined and predestined to be saved, and God decides who's going to get saved and who's not. I don't believe that. I don't think the Bible teaches that. I do think the Bible does, though, call us elect when we get saved. I think whosoever will may come, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord may come. And when we come to him and we are stepping into him, just like when Noah stepped into the ark, Noah was then elect. In other words, God had predetermined the ark would float, and everything that got in the ark floated and got saved. But you know what? That predetermination is all depending on whether or not you choose to get in the ark or not. Yesterday, there were planes going to Chicago. There was a plane going to Wichita. There was a plane going to Rapid City. And all of us who got on the plane for Rapid City were predetermined and predestined to get to Rapid City, because that's where the plane was going. But if you didn't get on the plane, you wasn't going there, all right? Heard one time of a guy who thought he was going to Oakland, California. This was years ago, before all the tight security. And he thought he was going to Oakland, California, and he got off the plane in Auckland, New Zealand, I think it was, and a little bit off there. It makes a difference what you get on, okay? And so the picture here of the ark is a picture of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus is the elect. And the reason why I can be called the elect is because I'm in him. I'm in Christ. So then I'm part of the elect. And anyone who gets in Christ is then part of the elect as well. And so they are elect of God because they got saved. I'm thankful for your salvation. How many of you today are thankful for Jill Kettle's salvation? She's in heaven because of that salvation. I'm thankful that someone invited Larry and Jean to come to church several years ago. And then they got saved. And then Larry had a burden for Jill, and Jill got saved. And now she's in heaven today. I'm thankful for Larry's salvation. She's part of the elect. Not only did she get saved, but then she got baptized, and now she's joined the church. But she's not going to heaven because she joined this church. She's been on her way to heaven since the day she received Jesus Christ as her Savior. I'm thankful for your salvation. Boy, I look out and I think, boy, I'm so thankful for your salvation. I mean, if it wasn't for Larry and Jean's burden for Jill, I'm thankful for their salvation. I'm thankful for the salvations of people in our church. I hope you are too. I realize that some of us are kind of hard to get along with sometimes. You know, that's what makes church unique. It's God's church, and he puts a bunch of imperfect people like us together in it, you know. And I didn't say any names, Mr. Spear. I know you're looking down at the floor. I wasn't saying anything. But praise the Lord for your salvation. That's what Paul's saying here. I praise God for your salvation. Notice what it says here. And by the way, this is a definition of salvation in verse number 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's what salvation is. That's a definition of repentance right there. How ye turn to God from idols. The Bible says in Acts 20:21, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to God from idols. You know, when someone is, and I'll just give an example, when someone is raised in a Catholic church, in a Catholic home, they are probably going to be baptized as a baby. And they're probably going to be catechized and homogenized and pasteurized and all the other things that you can be. And they're going to go through all this stuff and all these rituals. And if they're probably going to be taught to either worship or pray to Mary. And on and on. But especially if you go to a Spanish-speaking country like Peru or a third world country, you can really see where there's a lot of idol worship involved. I've been to Mexico during the Easter holiday time, and what strange practices go on. But you know what salvation is when you turn to just God and away from any other thing. I use Catholic as an illustration because we're familiar with Catholicism in this country, but it's not just that. It's a lot of things. And it's any other religion. There's lots of other churches out there that teach a works-based salvation. That's an idol, a false religion. Some teach that the baptism itself is what saves you. Larray didn't get saved last week. She got saved months ago. She just got baptized last week. But some churches teach that that's what saves you is being baptized. And I think that's why the babies start getting baptized. By the way, freedom of religion, how do you baptize a baby and say you believe in freedom of religion? You know, a baby doesn't have a choice. Freedom of religion is a beautiful thing because it's a biblical thing. I have four children, and even though they grew up in a pastor's home, they're not going to heaven because they grew up in a pastor's home or because I willed it on them. The Bible says being born again, not of the will of man. And so my children had to make that choice themselves, just like anyone. And how you turned to God from idols. I like to use this illustration when I'm talking about repentance. Because repentance, if you think that repentance is you've got to stop sinning to get saved. By the way, how many in here have done that? You're done sinning. Can I see your hands? You don't sin anymore. Treg does, but nope. Not, see, I got him to raise his hand. He's not paying attention. Nobody in here stopped sinning. So it's silly to say, you've got to repent of all your sins. Because no one can do that. Now, as Christians, we learn to stop sinning a lot of things. But about the time I think I got all my sins taken care of, I find a whole new section I didn't even know about. But you know what salvation is? Salvation is repenting of the one sin that sends you to hell. And that's unbelief. A rejection of Christ. So I always try to illustrate repentance as if I'm standing on Catholicism. I'm standing on my baby baptism. I'm standing on my work salvation. I'm standing on my church membership. I'm standing on my goodness. I'm standing on the fact that most people think I'm okay. I'm standing on my, that's all the wrong thing. All of that will send you to hell. It doesn't matter if you're the greatest religious person that ever lived. If you're not saved, you're going to hell. Salvation, repentance, is when you turn to salvation from whatever it was you were trusting in before. My wife was raised Amish. The Amish make an idol out of being good people and hard works and good works. At age 40, her parents had to turn to God from that. And so salvation is when you turn to God from whatever God you had before, whatever security you thought you could hang on to. And that's what they did. They turned to God from idols. They repented toward God and had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 10, and they were delivered from the wrath to come. The Bible tells us that we are not, in fact, the last chapter of this book, God has not appointed the believer to wrath. The wrath is the judgment of God. Look, losing freedoms in this country is not the wrath of God. Tribulation is coming, but the wrath of God is different. And you read the last Revelation and the seven vials that are poured out, that's the wrath of God being poured out. Salvation is receiving the word in much affliction. Verse 6 says, and you became follower of us. I still hear whispering over there. I'm sorry. Can you come up, sit on the front row? I'm sorry. It's bothering me. Verse 6 says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Salvation is receiving the word. You hear the word of God and you receive it. That's salvation. And they became followers of us. It says in chapter 2, verse 14, and ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. Now, you can't go to church and call yourself a Christian because you went to church. Just like you can't go to Pizza Hut and call yourself a pizza. But listen, if you'll go to church that's preaching the Bible, sooner or later you're going to hear something that's going to get you to see the truth of salvation. Your co-laborer at work, your relative can witness to you at the doorstep in your home, and you can get saved in your home. But if you keep coming to church, this guy down here, the one we were talking about that they sent the thank you card to, he made that mistake years ago. He kept coming to church. Bad mistake. Because now he got saved. See, he heard the gospel. All right? That you become followers of the preaching and followers of those churches of God, you're going to end up getting saved. And that's what the Bible teaches. Be followers of me, even as I am of Christ. So he was thankful for their salvation. Not only that, though, notice, he's thankful for their service. Psalm 100, verse 1 and 2 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Psalm 100. He says, I'm thankful for your service. Notice verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. I'm thankful for your service. That's why I read that thank you card this week. It went so well with the message anyway. I'm so thankful for the service. Behind the scenes in every church, there is a labor of love and a service. Let me encourage you, if you aren't part of that, to understand what it's like. Now that Lorraine's been saved, now that she's been baptized, she's joined the church. We're not going to crack the whip. She's still going to choose what she wants to do. What's encouraging to me is she chose, even before she was baptized, to just start coming here as much as she could. Isn't that a blessing? But pretty soon, it's kind of like when I was a kid. I remember one time my teacher told me this. I couldn't believe it. My teacher said, did you know once upon a time your parents were kids? I never thought of that. And did you know that those sandwiches that you eat in your lunchbox, did you know that somebody made that? I never thought of that. Hey, when you're a kid, you just think about yourself, right? Open up the lunchbox, there better be a sandwich in there. Why? Because it's just supposed to be in there. Now, if you're a husband, you probably do the same thing, you know? You open up your drawer, there better be socks in there. Why aren't there socks in there? I can't understand it. There's supposed to be socks in there. You know what happens when you're not very mature and you're not very wise and you're not very observant? You don't notice the fact that somebody's got to do that. You know what makes church work? The people who work. You know why there's kids here today? Somebody came early and started the van and picked them up. You know why we don't have trash all over the place? Somebody was here earlier this week doing some vacuuming and cleaning and sanitizing. He said, I'm thankful for your work of faith, your labor of love. You know why we have 36 missionaries that we help to support around the world? Because somebody amongst us gives to missions. I was in a church just this weekend. They have a storefront for a building. The other side of the building is a tattoo parlor. Bang, crash. We're blessed and spoiled. We have some talented guys in our church that gave their time to build this building, put everything together, and then keep it running right and plowing the snow and mowing the grass and on. You know what? I'm thankful for your service. I'm thankful for your labor of love. I'm thankful that there are people who share the gospel and give out a tract and a kind word and encourage people that way. I'm thankful that Larry had a burden for Jill because Jill's in heaven today as a result of that. And as we read already in verse 9, to serve the living and true God. Let me encourage you to not just enjoy the ride. What do I mean by that? Doesn't happen very much anymore because of the modern days, but the old days, you used to see a lot of people on the side of the road with their thumb out. And we called them hitchhikers. And, you know, the guy didn't have much money and he's trying to get across the country, that'd be how they do it. But a hitchhiker doesn't pay the gas, he doesn't pay the insurance, he doesn't buy the car, just gets a free ride. That's okay. But sooner or later, we ought to say, hey, wait a minute. I don't want to just be on a free ride. How can I contribute? How can I be a part? Because some of our dear servants in our church, don't tell them I said this, but they're getting old. and they need to be replaced. I'm not saying we don't like them. And you know why there's still church? Because there's been servants. We often think that the reason why that's a good church is because they're a pastor. Let me tell you something. If you see a good church, it's because there's a bunch of good people there. Pastors are like light bulbs. When it goes out, you just get a new one, screw it back in. It'll be all right. But there's people behind those things. I've been in several different churches in the last 2 weeks, and it always is such an encouragement to me to see the servants. Just to see the behind-the-scenes people that are just serving the Lord and making the difference. And they are a blessing. And so he says, I'm thankful for your service. And not only for your service, but how you do it. Verse 6, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Remember, I quoted it earlier, serve the Lord with gladness. As much as I want people to step in and help serve the Lord in our church, it's got to be with gladness. You know? In fact, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, God loveth a cheerful giver. Last night I was writing out some offering checks for the church, and last night was very unusual, but the Lord had blessed, and we had some extra income, and I was having fun. I was just having fun writing out our offering checks, and I forgot last week. And so I was putting last week's in plus this week, and I was just writing all that stuff out. But I was excited, praise the Lord, that I have to give and to be excited about it and to serve and to know what it's going to be used for. And then notice also your missions. It says in verse 7 and 8, so that you were in samples to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia, not just in your little town in Thessalonica, but all over the place you've been examples. For from you, verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Missions to others. Look at chapter 4 and verse 8. He therefore that despiseth not men, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. We should never say, you know, we've done a lot, so we can stop now. We should just keep on asking God to give us ways to serve and how we can be a blessing and minister to others. Brother Bill has told me more than once, and by the way, he's in Zimbabwe right now. He has told me more than once that he brags about Mountain View Baptist Church to other places. Now, I don't think we should let that get to our heads, because we're not all that. But isn't it a blessing to know that somebody brags about you? I hope that heaven's impressed more than anybody else. But you know what? I'm thankful for your salvation, and I'm thankful for your service and missions to others. On Wednesday, there's people getting together and putting John Romans together. You know what I love about it? I told my wife just the other day, I love listening to people laugh and talk to each other and have fellowship with one another and kid each other. It's fun. And then mess it all up, and we got to fix it all. It's a blessing. Jim Dole, when he was still with us, he said that he looked for that. He looked forward to that time. And what I found, we're not just doing stuff. We're actually fellowshipping and having a good time and getting to know one another better. And it's a blessing. I enjoy it. I really do. I enjoy the time that we have with one another. I'm thankful that when God gave us this mandate of working for him, that it actually is a joy to do it. It's a blessing to serve with each other. It was a blessing this summer to stain this building with the other guys and to just work together, and boy, what a quick work they made of it. We give thanks to you all for your salvation. We give thanks to you all for your service. And then thirdly, I'm thankful for your steadfastness. Back in verse number 3, verse number 3 of chapter 1, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father. Let me tell you something. As time marches on, we have got to practice patience. We're blessed right now in the state of South Dakota. But I'm telling you right now, there are churches that don't sing because the government has told them not to. There are churches that have been wearing masks. They haven't seen each other's lips or nose for months. It's a shame. And we'll have to make some decisions someday. But we need to realize that these times are coming and perilous times shall come, the Bible says. But the Bible also says in 1 Corinthians 15, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If life hands us lemons, we'll make lemonade. If things get tougher, we'll figure out how to get around the tough and still get it done. And we'll do it. We're not going to let our service for the Lord stop. You know who invented church? The Lord Jesus Christ. You know who owns it? Jesus Christ. You know when he said we shouldn't do it anymore? Never. The word church means assembly. And I can read you stories of history where they assembled when it was absolutely illegal to, but they assembled anyway. And so I'm thankful for your steadfastness to wait for his son from heaven. How many of you are like me? You're waiting for that day to come. Man, you're excited to just the thought that he is coming. To wait for him and to deliver us from the wrath to come, waiting for his son, verse 10, from heaven. And then Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And I want to quote these two. Hebrews 10, 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, next week we're going to baptize a young mother named Stephanie. She's sitting back there. Stephanie got saved last month. It was the Sunday when all the snow came, and there was not even electricity. And I loved it because even though we didn't have any power, God still had power. And that was the day Stephanie got saved. And she's going to get baptized, Lord willing, next Sunday. But you know what's even more encouraging beyond just that is that her husband is Tyler. Tyler got saved like 16 years ago. And I think I can say it this way without making him embarrassed, but he didn't exactly jump right on and get involved like he should have. But 2 months ago on a Sunday night, Tyler and Stephanie showed up to church. Never met Stephanie. Never met Grayson and Grant. And you know what? That was encouraging to me. Because you know who led Tyler to the Lord 16 years ago? And the Holy Spirit just kind of came alongside and said, see, sometimes service doesn't get rewarded right away, but it's still permanent. When someone gets saved, it's eternal. It'd be nice if you'd get on a little faster. That'd have been a little more encouraging. But that's why we're supposed to wait with patience for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Just be steadfast. Your patience of hope. Look what it says. Look what he said to them in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That's the dead will come back to life. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. And I'm telling you today that the day is approaching where he is coming again, but there's going to be some trouble along the way. There's going to be these mandatory vaccinations, and there's going to be these more mandates, and there's going to be more restrictions and more hard times ahead. I do believe that's going to happen, and we're in for it. However, the bright light at the end of the tunnel is that Jesus is coming again. And we should comfort one another with these words and wait patiently and be steadfast and keep preaching and teaching and telling people about the Lord and keep serving and helping to maintain the church that he has given us to be a part of, our local assembly, and to do what we can do to be a blessing and encouragement to our missionaries around the world and to the people locally in our community. I'm thankful for your steadfastness. Our visitors will have a real hard time believing this, but I'm not perfect. In fact, I'm downright hard to get along with sometimes. My wife is in the nursery. She just shouted amen. I'm thankful that your steadfastness is not based on my personality. I'm thankful that your patience is not in the pastor, but in the Lord. My parents had a pastor that stole money from the church. Well, that's it. I'm never joining another church again. Hold on a second. Whose church is it? It's the Lord Jesus' church. Light bulb goes bad. Get a new light bulb, but don't quit the church. Your patience of hope. And notice also, your example or ensample. Back there in chapter 1 and verse 7, you were ensamples to all in every place. You are just a good example of faithfulness and steadfastness. That's what we're supposed to be, folks. We're supposed to be an example to our community. We're supposed to be an example of God's grace. I've said this a few times only because I just want to hammer it home. I think it's wonderful. Don't get me wrong, but I think it's wonderful that we have members who used to be in jail. I don't want it to happen now, but I think it's wonderful. You know why? There's people out there that need to know that. That church is not a bunch of goody two-shoes that have a certain rank and position. No. We're just sinners saved by grace. We need to be examples of the grace of God, the steadfastness of what salvation can do for people. I praise God that I could post that progress edition that we had back in 2017 about Jill getting saved, because the community was rattled. Jill, the head of the senior center, passed away. Hey, got some news for you. Jill got saved in 2017. She's in heaven right now. Wow. Thankful for your service. I'll never forget years ago, standing in the senior center, I was talking to an older gentleman, and he was asking about our church. And I said, well, yeah, we do this and this, and our main emphasis is just winning people with the gospel. And whether locally or long distance, and we have several missionaries. In fact, we have over 30 missionaries. He said, wow, you must have some givers in your church. Well, I guess, but you know what? He'd be surprised. We don't have any big givers or any rich lawyers or doctors. We just have people that have decided to serve the Lord with their time, their talent, and their treasure. And I want to encourage you to keep doing it. Keep being used of the Lord to serve. Paul said, I'm so thankful for your salvation. I'm so thankful for your service. And I'm so thankful for your steadfastness. Stay steadfast. Stay always abounding in the work of the Lord. Be thankful you're saved. Be thankful you have a place to serve. And be thankful that he's helped us to maintain and to remain steadfast. I'm thankful for our politicians and our governor. But more than that, I'm thankful for the grace of God that gives us all these abilities. Praise God for his goodness in our life. I give thanks to God for you all. I don't know if you give thanks for the pastor. I don't know, but I give thanks for the people. I give thanks. I mean Mr. Spear when I say that. I mean Mr. Spear. I give thanks for each and every one. I give thanks for this one that was sitting up here on the front row. I give thanks that was sitting right here. I give thanks for them all. I give thanks for how God has used and blessed and what he can do through his church. Don't let the world and the media tell you that his church can't keep going. It's a lie. God was blessing churches before there was ever the Bill of Rights. And he'll keep on blessing even if there isn't going to be one. Just be faithful and be thankful. Now let's close in prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Would there be someone that would say, Pastor, I heard what you said, and it sounds like some people are agreeing with you, but I don't even know if I'm saved. I don't even know if I died, I'd be on my way to heaven. I can't say I'm thankful for my salvation because I don't even know if I have it. Well, let me ask you while we're bowing our heads for a moment. Is there someone that would lift your hand and say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I sure would like to talk to you about it or your wife about it today? Would there be anyone with an uplifted hand say, Pastor, that's me. I want to ask you some questions about salvation. I'm not sure about salvation. Anyone at all? With a raised hand. Anybody? Please, if you're not sure of that, that you'll stop and ask me or someone. Please find the answers to that question. Maybe you're saved, but maybe you're not where you ought to be. Maybe you're not baptized, or maybe you haven't joined a church. Maybe you're not serving like the Lord would have you in a local church. Maybe God wants you to do that. Let me encourage you to get involved and be a part of what his plan is. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you so much for the blessings of church. We see people go from unsaved to saved, from lost to found, from chained to unchained, from death to life. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the behind-the-scenes servers who got saved years ago and they find their job for you. They find your will for them and they serve. Lord, thank you so much for the servers. And thank you for the overall steadfastness of the believers, the faith to stay and remain steadfast. Thank you for the hope and the reminders to be patient and to wait for you. And to trust you, and to just continue in what your word says. And thank you for the promise that you are coming again. Help us to be comforted in that. Help us to remain steadfast in the faith. Lord, we thank you and praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. We are dismissed.